Every single year in the United States alone, $28 billion is just, well, completely wasted. It just vanishes.
28 billion. Yeah.
And it isn't going toward, failed infrastructure or bureaucratic red tape. It's actually being spent on scientific research that has already failed, but no one bothered to tell anyone else about it.
Right. It's like spending $28 billion reinventing the wheel. Except, in this case, it's a broken wheel that someone else already figured out doesn't even roll.
Exactly. And welcome to today's deep dive, where we are going to look into how this happens. Because according to the stack of sources we're examining today, which, by the way, is a wild collection, we've got leaked style business plans, an industry grant forecast, a literal Five Eyes strategic intelligence report, and a detailed SWOT analysis, all dated early 2026.
Yeah, it's quite the reading list.
It really is. And our mission today is to explore a secretive organization called the DeReticular Grant Sovereignty Division, because their plan is to completely revolutionize the $3 trillion global R&D industry by essentially weaponizing scientific failure.
Weaponizing failure. It sounds like a supervillain plot, but it's actually fascinating.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because $3 trillion is a massive industry, and a $28 billion leak in just the US implies a fundamental flaw in how modern science operates, right? Like, how does a problem this massive even happen in the first place?
Well, to understand that, we have to look at the mechanics of the global grant industry itself, which is just experiencing explosive growth right now. I mean, global research and development hit $2.5 trillion in 2023, and forecasts show it passing $3 trillion by 2026.
Wow, 3 trillion.
Yeah. The National Institutes of Health alone recently saw their budget jump to $48 billion. So there is a ton of money flowing. But there's this structural leak driven by a phenomenon called publication bias. And the industry basically calls the result of this bias dark data.
Dark data, right. And the sources give this incredibly frustrating real-world example of dark data involving the antidepressant Prozac, or fluoxetine, and of all things, zebrafish.
Oh, yeah, the zebrafish study.
Yeah. So you have Lab A, right? They decide to test Prozac on these fish to check for environmental toxicity. They run the tests, they observe the fish, and they see no immediate behavioral changes or significant mortality.
Nothing happens.
Right. So they look at the results, they consider the experiment bust, and they just shove the data in a literal or digital file drawer. They don't publish it.
Because in the traditional scientific publishing world, there is zero incentive to publish a paper that essentially says, you know, we tried something and absolutely nothing happened. Journals want breakthroughs. They want positive results.
Yeah, they want the splashy headline.
Exactly. They want to print that drug A cures disease B, not that drug A did absolutely nothing to zebrafish.
So the data goes dark. It just sits in a drawer. Then, maybe months or years later, Lab B comes along. They see a gap in the literature and think, hey, nobody has ever tested this specific Prozac dosage on zebrafish.
Right, because they can't see the hidden data.
Exactly. So they write a proposal, they get a $200,000 grant to do the exact same test. They run it, they fail, and they hide their data too. It's ridiculous.
And it gets worse, because the sources note that years later, around 2018, researchers actually discovered that Prozac has transgenerational effects.
Wait, meaning it affects the offspring.
Yes, it lowers cortisol levels in the offspring of the exposed fish. But because all that initial negative data from the first generation was hidden away, the entire scientific field was delayed in looking for those deeper genetic effects. I mean, everyone assumed the drug was completely inert because of those unpublished null screenings.
Those tests that showed zero result.
Exactly. The real-world cost of those hidden dead ends is just devastating. And it's not just biology. It happens in every single sector where research is funded.
It makes me think of like explorers mapping a new continent. Imagine every time they hit a dead end or an empty desert, they just rip that half of the map off and throw it away because it doesn't show where the gold is.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Right. Because if you don't share where you've already dug, everyone else coming behind you is going to waste their time and supplies digging in the exact same empty holes.
And for you listening, I mean, this hidden failure impacts the medicine you take, the energy grid you rely on, and frankly, the taxes you pay to fund these massive grants.
Yeah, that money comes from somewhere.
Exactly. Look at the pharmaceutical industry's current push into artificial intelligence. AI models are currently being trained almost exclusively on successful data, and that makes them dangerously overoptimistic. They're prone to hallucinations because they haven't learned the boundaries of reality from millions of unpublished failures.
They only know what works, not what breaks.
Right. And in the energy sector, there are terabytes of untouched sensor data from internet-connected devices just sitting in data centers. It's completely unanalyzed, but generating millions of tons of CO2 emissions just to keep the servers running. It's a compound failure of money, progress, and resources.
So if human ego and the traditional academic journal system are hiding all these negative results, you can't exactly just politely ask researchers to ruin their own reputations by publishing their duds. I mean, you have to change the financial incentives. You have to force them to share their failures.
And that is exactly what Der Reticular's business plan proposes. They want to change those incentives by redesigning the actual plumbing of how research money moves.
Okay, how so?
Well, they've engineered what they call a grant-backed utility token marketplace. Instead of a traditional grantor, like, say, the Gates Foundation, writing a massive fiat currency check to a university's bank account, they take those standard U.S. dollars and stake them in a smart contract.
A smart contract.
Yeah. And that self-executing code then mints a digital token called the RSRCH token, which is pegged one-to-one to the staked dollars.
Wait, I need to jump in here and push back on this. We're talking about crypto.
Yes, essentially.
Because isn't there a massive crypto stigma in traditional academia? I'm trying to picture like a 60-year-old NIH grant reviewer, someone who is used to paper trails in traditional banking, looking at a blockchain token project and actually approving it for federal funding. It seems like he would just get laughed out of the room.
You're not wrong. And Der Reticular is acutely aware of that friction. Their strategic grant reports explicitly outline what they call a Trojan horse marketing strategy.
A Trojan horse, so they disguise it.
Completely. They pitch the exact same underlying technology entirely differently depending on who is sitting across the table. When they talk to the Web3 community or decentralized developer platforms like Gitcoin, they call it exactly what it is. They say it's a tokenized decentralized science or DeSci marketplace.
But I imagine that pitch changes completely when they walk into a private traditional philanthropy.
Oh, night and day. When they pitch private philanthropies, like the John Templeton Foundation, they frame the exact same smart contract technology as a tool for intellectual humility.
Intellectual humility. Wow, that's good branding.
It is. They sell it as a philosophical cure for the scientific ego by rewarding honesty and transparency.
Let me guess. When they approach federal agencies like ARPAH or the NIH, the word token completely disappears from the slide deck.
They scrub it entirely.
Huh.
For the government, it becomes a digital voucher or a next-gen research management system. They focus purely on the immutable data verification and the prevention of redundant fraud.
But it's the exact same tech underneath.
Exactly. The mechanism underneath never changes. The smart contract has milestone triggers built into the code. The funds, those tokens, are only unlocked and deposited into the researcher's digital wallet when they upload the complete raw data.
Success or failure.
Right. The crucial distinction is that the contract does not care if the experiment succeeded or failed. It doesn't evaluate the scientific outcome at all. It only verifies that the data set is complete.
So you literally get paid to publish your failure. A researcher can take those unlocked tokens, immediately liquidate them back into U.S. dollars to pay their lab techs and buy more equipment. And in exchange, the scientific community gets a permanent public record of a dead end.
Yes.
Now, nobody else wastes a $200,000 grant on it.
You take dark data and drag it into the light.
But okay, here's the glaring vulnerability in that system that I see. If researchers are suddenly getting paid just to upload data, regardless of the result, what's to stop a malicious actor from firing up an AI, generating hundreds of fake spreadsheets showing failed experiments, and just draining the grant money?
Ah, the fake data problem.
Right. Generative AI is absolutely sophisticated enough to fake a null result data set that would completely fool a smart contract.
And that specific vulnerability destroys most software-based verification systems. Because if the verification only happens at the point where the researcher uploads a file to a web portal, it's already too late. The data could have been manipulated an hour before.
All right, you have no idea where it came from.
So you have to move the verification further upstream. You have to shift from the software layer down to the physical hardware layer.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Looking through these documents, Der Reticular isn't just building a software platform. They have this whole infrastructure backbone called RIOS that stands for Rural Infrastructure Operating System.
Yeah, RIOS is how they solve the fake data threat. They use what are called hardware-anchored oracles. Instead of trusting a researcher's laptop or their manual data entry, Ryos hashes and cryptographically signs the research data at the exact point of creation in the physical world.
So it's right at the source?
Yes. It interfaces directly with the laboratory equipment itself.
So the actual physical machine is stamping the data, like not the computer it's plugged into.
Exactly. The mass spectrometer, the DNA sequencing machine, the soil sensor Ryos connects to the hardware. It stamps the data as authentic the millisecond it's generated.
Wow.
Because the cryptographic signature happens inside the machine's hardware, there is zero window of opportunity for a researcher to download the data, alter it with AI, and then re-upload it. The chain of custody starts at the physical lens or sensor.
And the sources show this isn't just some white paper theory either. They detail a proof of concept DeRaticular is already running called Hemp Grade AI.
Oh, the Hemp Project.
Yes. Yeah, they are actively using Ryos computer vision cameras to visually grade industrial hemp waste. They use the hardware to verify the physical destruction of that biomass inside these massive plasma gasifiers. Then they take that verified physical destruction and turn it into a tradable real-world asset token, an RWA.
Which is brilliant.
Right. They've figured out how to take physical dead capital, like agricultural waste, and tokenize it securely. And now they want to take that exact same physical to digital verification pipeline and plug it into scientific research data.
And the environment Ryos is designed for is just as important as the hardware itself. It features something called island mode. Ryos can run completely offline. It doesn't rely on Amazon Web Services or Google Cloud to function. The data is stored on a decentralized network they've named Operation Octagon.
Operation Octagon. It sounds like a spy movie. It's a global mesh of 8 sovereign nodes, right? The documents mention Node 1 might be physically located in Uganda and Node 4 in Arizona.
Yeah, and by distributing the data across these sovereign, offline capable nodes, no centralized university administration and no massive tech giant can censor, alter, or delete an embarrassing scientific failure once it's recorded by the hardware oracle.
It's locked in.
It becomes permanent and sovereign.
But this is where the scale of this gets a little scary. When you build an infrastructure that can operate completely offline and guarantee the absolute unalterable truth of physical data, you stop being just an academic tool. You become a critical piece of infrastructure that catches the attention of global intelligence agencies.
Oh, absolutely.
This elevates the entire dark data problem from a simple academic accounting inefficiency into a literal national security mandate.
And that brings us to the strategic alignment report concerning the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance.
Right.
For context, the Five Eyes is the intelligence sharing network comprising the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And it's important to state clearly here, for you listening, that we are strictly reporting on the contents of this intelligence document and the stated strategic concerns of the alliance. We aren't taking a geopolitical stance or endorsing the viewpoints. We are simply laying out how this document frames the global landscape.
Exactly. We are just reading the map they left behind.
Right. So the report details that the Five Eyes Alliance is heavily focused on countering the Chinese Communist Party's volume-based research strategy. The alliance's stated primary goals are preventing the theft of Western intellectual property, securing dominance in the artificial intelligence sector, and protecting critical infrastructure from state-sponsored cyber attacks.
And the document explicitly names a specific malware threat, right? Something called Volt Typhoon.
Yes, Volt Typhoon. The intelligence concern outlined regarding Volt Typhoon is that adversaries are actively pre-positioning malware inside centralized Western water and energy grids.
Just waiting.
Exactly. The strategy is to cause civilian chaos during a broader conflict by simply knocking out the cloud connectivity those grids rely on to function.
And if they lose the cloud, the grid goes down.
Right. But if we look at what DeRaticular is building, Ryos's island mode directly mitigates that specific threat. Because Ryos can run offline autonomously, local water pumps and municipal power generators can continue to operate and verify their own systems, even if the central cloud is hacked or physically severed.
Wow.
It isolates the physical reality of the infrastructure from the vulnerable software network.
But the intelligence report goes much further than just protecting physical water and power grids. It highlights the dark data marketplace itself as a massive strategic weapon. It claims this system gives the West a truth advantage in the AI arms race.
The truth advantage?
Yeah, and that concept really clicked for me when I thought about how AI actually learns. Like, training an autonomous defense drone only on successful flight data is like training a medical student who has only ever studied perfectly healthy people.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Because the moment that doctor sees someone coughing up blood, they have no idea what to do. The moment that autonomous drone encounters unexpected turbulence or a sudden sensor failure, it hallucinates and crashes. It's never seen a failure state.
Right, it doesn't know what wrong looks like.
Exactly. You absolutely need the negative data, the failures, to define the boundaries of reality for an AI.
And by creating the world's first verified supply of negative training data, DeReticular is minting a highly lucrative, highly strategic asset. I mean, an AI model trained on cryptographically verified failures will inherently be more accurate, more bounded, and more resilient than an adversary's model that only knows success.
So this totally shifts from being a solution for university grants to an actual pillar of national defense. But looking through these leaked business plans, at the end of the day, this is ultimately a business venture. So how does DeReticular plan to turn scientific failures into a massive commercial operation? And maybe more importantly, who stands to lose the most if they actually pull this off?
Well, the 10-year pro forma in the business plan lays out a very aggressive commercial roadmap. I mean, they start small. In 2026, they focus purely on niche DeSci pilots, like the hemp waste tracking we talked about.
Okay, getting their feet wet.
Right. But by 2028, they plan to execute what the documents call the pharma pivot, transitioning their hardware oracles directly into biological labs. And by 2032, their explicit stated goal is to be an AI data monopoly.
A monopoly. And the revenue model they've mapped out here has two completely different streams, which I found interesting. First, they charge a standard 1.5% grant management fee to the philanthropies and agencies using their smart contract escrow
Yeah,
system.
the 1.5%.
But that fee just seems like it's there to, keep the lights on and pay for the servers. The real gold mine is licensing the collected dark data repository back out to AI companies and pharmaceutical giants.
Because for a pharmaceutical giant, it is infinitely cheaper to pay DeReticular $50,000 to access a verified data set proving a specific molecule failed 3 years ago than to spend $10 million funding a whole new clinical trial just to discover that failure themselves.
That makes total sense.
The business plan projects charging anywhere from 27 cents to a full dollar per visual or sensor data point. And because the marginal cost of licensing a digital data set they already hold is near zero, their profit margins scale exponentially.
Right, they just sell the same data over and over.
Exactly. By year 10, which would be 2035, they project an EBITDA, which is basically their pure operating profit before interest, taxes, and accounted depreciation, of $360 million.
$360 million. That is a staggering amount of money generated purely from failed science. But the SWOT analysis included in the sources highlights some massive existential threats to hitting that target, right?
Oh, definitely. The primary vulnerability is regulatory choke points. If the SEC decides to classify the RSRCH token as an unregistered security, the entire platform could face immediate legal shutdowns.
Just game over.
Pretty much. So DeReticular's mitigation strategy for this is to legally structure the tokens as restricted vouchers. This means they are non-transferable on public crypto exchanges.
So you can't just trade them like Bitcoin.
Right. They can only be sent to highly regulated identity verified off-ramps where the researchers convert them straight back to fiat currency.
Okay, so that handles the SEC. But beyond that, there is a more insidious threat detailed in the SWOT analysis. If this system is so efficient, if it saves $28 billion in wasted research and accelerates scientific discovery by years, why would traditional universities fight it? Because the documents explicitly state that university administration is a major threat to adoption.
It comes down to money and something the report calls institutional inertia. Currently, major universities charge massive overhead or indirect costs on traditional grants. This can sometimes be upwards of 50% of the total grant value.
50%. That is wild.
Yeah, and the justification is that it pays for administration, keeping the laboratory lights on, maintaining the campus buildings, and so on.
Okay, so if a grantor gives a university $1 million to study a disease, the university administration just skims $500,000 off the top before the researcher even buys a single test tube.
Exactly. And DeReticular's model fundamentally breaks that system. It's a direct-to-researcher smart contract. The funds are locked in the digital vault, and unlock directly into the researcher's wallet based on the hardware data verification.
Bypassing the university entirely.
It bypasses the traditional university bursar completely. This threatens a massive legacy revenue stream that universities desperately rely on to survive. The SWOT analysis warns that legacy institutions might try to ban their researchers from using the platform entirely or even threaten their tenure just to protect that 50% overhead revenue.
Wow. So what does this all mean? We started by looking at a $28 billion black hole in the scientific method, the Filder effect. We explored how human ego and a broken publishing system hide our failures, slowing down global progress. And we unpacked Dereticular's radical solution, you know, using offline hardware oracles, sovereign global nodes, and tokenized smart contracts to actually pay scientists to admit when they're wrong.
Yeah, the paradigm shift.
It really is. And in doing so, they might not only fix the grant system, but secure a massive strategic advantage in the global AI arms race by defining reality for the next generation of algorithms. It turns out the next great leap in human knowledge won't necessarily come from a brand new discovery. It might come from finally recycling all of our hidden failures.
And, you know, this raises an important final question for you listening to consider as this technology scales. If Dereticular succeeds, we are moving from a trust-based system to a verification-based system. Historically, scientific truth has been verified by the reputation of legacy institutions. We trust a study because it has the brand name of Harvard or Oxford attached to the top of the paper.
Right, it's about prestige.
But if truth is no longer verified by a university's prestige, but instead by an unhackable, decentralized network of hardware oracles that bypass the university entirely, what happens to the entire concept of academic prestige? Does the brand name of a legacy university even survive in a world of purely sovereign, cryptographically verified data?
A world where the data speaks entirely for itself without the need for an Ivy League translator. That is a wild thought to leave on. We want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the data systems around you. And remember, just because a map has blank spots on it doesn't mean someone hasn't already walked there. They just might not have gotten paid to tell you about it yet.